Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, why not check out our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Well, I'm excited today to carry on our series in the book of Acts. So if you have a Bible, turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to be today. Now, today we're looking at the subject of signs and wonders and miracles in the book of Acts. Now, you might be thinking, Andrew, it's a sign, a wonder and a miracle that I'm still standing after these last 6 months. If that's you, you're in the right place. We're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit today. And as I look at the book of Acts, I see at least 17 places or stories where miracles or answered prayers happen and they help people come to trust in Jesus. A couple of the clear examples that we see is in Acts chapter 9. And let me just give you these little kind of sentences. Peter heals Aeneas, and then Luke, the doctor, records it this way. And all the residents of Lydia and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. All the residents. Peter raises Tabitha from the dead, and Luke says, it became known to all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, friends, we want to see people turn to the Lord, to use that language, and believe in the Lord Jesus. And we see that words and works go together. They're central in the ministry of Jesus. They're central in the ministry of the early church. They're core and they're not fringe. And they're for everyone and not just a few. So these moments of answered prayer, when the presence of God draws close in power to heal, in compassion, to comfort, with forgiveness or peace, they can help a person come to trust and follow Jesus. We're going to hear a great story a little bit later in our service of one such story like that. But let me just ask a question as we get going today. How many of you have had an experience of God that you couldn't dismiss? Just as you think back a moment where something happened. If you're in the room, you can raise a hand. If you're online, I'm going to invite you just to pop down what it was. Pop a couple of words in the online chat. Was it an answered prayer? Was it deliverance? Was it healing? Was it some sort of miraculous provision? Was it God assigning some protection, like an angelic presence in your life at a particular time? Pop it in the chat right now. Just let us know. Do you know, these moments of answered prayer can shift a conversation. It's a sign of the kingdom of God. It's an expression of his love and his presence in the here and now. And it points to King Jesus. That's what a sign does. A sign points and it points to Jesus. Our vision as a church family is to follow Jesus. We want to invite people, whatever our background, to follow Jesus, to live life to the full, which is what he's promised, and to make a difference. And as we think about making a difference, there are three parts to it. But two of the parts is kingdom ministry and kingdom invitation. Kingdom ministry is doing the things that Jesus did in the power of the Spirit. And kingdom invitation is inviting others to follow him. So I want to look at one story in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 3. And it's a story of some of the early followers of Jesus really extending that kingdom invitation and the kingdom ministry of Jesus into the life of somebody who is in quite a tough place. It reads this way, Acts chapter 3. And verse 1, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When Peter and John, he saw Peter and John about to enter, and he asked them for some money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by his right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And jumping down to verse 12, fellow Israelites, when they were giving an answer to the questions, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we'd made this man walk? No, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Let's just take a few minutes to look at this before we hear that story. Acts chapter 3, the first verse. Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer. Is that a throwaway comment or is that intentional? I think it's intentional. It's interesting that they were going at the time of prayer. These guys were people of prayer. That was their rhythm and routine. They had a rhythm of prayer as the early church. When you look at the story of Acts, just about every time the church gathers, the consistent theme is they were praying people. They called out to God. They prayed. That was part of their spiritual DNA. Somebody said that we reflect the world that we're most aware of. Let me just put it this way, that if you're just aware of the news and the feed on social media of friends and other stuff, that's just the world that you reflect. But if we get aware of the reality of God's presence, we have the possibility of reflecting that in our environments. Prayer helps us live aware of God. Prayer brings us into the presence of God. It helps us stay conscious that we're sons and daughters in his family. It reminds us of our true identity as loved sons, loved daughters with a father who's for us. I love this quote that Bill Johnson puts out. It's abnormal for a Christian not to have an appetite for the impossible. It has been written into our spiritual DNA to hunger for the impossibilities around us to bow at the name of Jesus. It's part of our spiritual DNA. We've got an appetite and a hunger for the impossible. What do we see this story unfolding? This guy is there and he's got needs. He basically asked them for money. This man had a presenting need. Can you help me out? Can you give me some cash? Do you know, needs open people up like nothing else. I think it's fair to say that in this cultural moment, with all that's happening, there are more needs around us. And there's an awareness of need in people's hearts, a need for some peace, for some mental sanity, for some perspective on what's going on, for some hope for the future. In this moment, there's a possibility of people being open up to God in a way maybe they haven't ever before in their lives, because they're aware that the whole kind of basis on which they've built life is shaking. It's a really uncertain time. The stats would say that more people than ever are praying now because they're aware of this uncertainty. Apparently 50% of young people have prayed sometime in the last 6 months. So to ask somebody, can I pray for you right now, might not be as weird as it sounds, because actually many people have been praying. They've been calling out to God in some way. That's what all the stats and all the research is showing us. There's an openness. There's a cultural openness in this moment to recognize, God, are you there? What's going on? Help me make sense of life. Help me get through. Well, there's an incredible thing that we see in this passage in Acts 3. It says in verse 6, Peter said this, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, walk. What do you see in this moment? What do you see in this story? It's a crazy bold statement. I love it. I haven't got this, but I have got this. I haven't got silver and gold, but I have got something incredible. What I've got, I give you. They knew something really important. They knew what they carried. They carried with them, in them, through them, the presence, the life of Jesus. Do you know what lives in you by the Spirit? What lives in you is the kingdom of God, the presence of God, the love of God. Jesus lives in us by his Spirit. That's incredible that this little body of mine houses something of God. God chooses to live in me by his Spirit. What I do have, I give to you. That's not arrogant. It's humility to recognize what God's given you. There's life on the inside. If you said yes to Jesus, if you said yes to following him, then he comes and lives in us by his Spirit. And we show and demonstrate the love of God. I love what Paul says in Corinthians, but we've got this treasure. It's like a treasure on the inside in jars of clay. Now, jars of clay is fragile. It's kind of this earthen vessel that's not very robust. And we often feel pretty fragile. We don't feel very robust very often, but there is a treasure in the jar of clay. Paul goes on to say, we're hard pressed on every side. We're perplexed. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. You know, maybe you feel fragile. You feel fragile like Paul did. He said, hey, listen, we feel fragile very often in life. We feel we're dealing with our own stuff. But remember that in this jar of clay, your life, there is still treasure. There's still something precious. There's the gift and the presence of Jesus that is in you and on you for your sake and for others' sake. Do you know, the Holy Spirit in you is a river and not a pond. He wants out. He wants to flow through our lives into the lives of others as we say yes to him. What they had was not their power or godliness. It was the gift of God in them. That's what it says in verse 12, isn't it? Why are you surprised? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we'd made this man walk? It's not us. It's God in us. God's Spirit in us and through us. Verse 13, what does it say there? A little insight into what happens when God answers prayer, when something shifts. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Answered prayers glorify God. Hey, listen, I know what you're thinking. What about those times when God doesn't answer prayer? We've had those moments. We pray, we say, God, do something, and it doesn't happen. We live with a tension, and I acknowledge that, of the kingdom which is both now and not yet. But we need to lean into the now of the kingdom, the fact that God says the kingdom of God is at hand. I've resolved something. It's only the prayers that I pray that will get answered. It's the prayers that I pray that can get answered. The prayers that I don't pray will never get answered. The prayers that you don't pray won't get answered. But the prayers that you do pray may get answered. And that helps me as I think about leaning into a life of risk and kingdom ministry. That's why faith is spelled R-I-S-K. We take a risk. We lean into the possibility of the kingdom coming now. We know that the kingdom will come fully when Christ returns. And we're in this in-between time where we pray in expectation and hope and we extend God's love and compassion. I love what Ruth shared. Effectively, she said that your breakthrough is more important than my ego. Your breakthrough is more important than my ego. I will embrace personal discomfort, embarrassment, and awkwardness for the sake of God possibly doing something for you in kindness and love and power. I'm okay with looking a little bit embarrassed for the chance that God might do something right now, right here, in this moment for you. For sure, the least we can do as we think about kingdom ministry and kingdom invitation is to pray a blessing on a friend. We can show God's kindness just in the way we are, through something we do, through something we say. And even that moment, can I pray for you right now, just as an expression of interest in a person, to say that God sees you, I see you, can I pray? Peter, when he's having to give a defense for what's going on, he uses that same idea of kindness in action when he's talking about what happened in this story. He says, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man, well, so be it. This demonstration of healing was an act of kindness. It was the kindness of God to this guy, to meet him where he was. I love what Mike Pilavachi says when talking about taking risks in this moment to pray for somebody or to offer to kind of show kindness in some way, either practically or just by praying or asking to pray for someone's healing. He said, it's scary, just do it. What is courage? It's not waiting and praying until we feel brave. It's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. It's the kindness of God to fix a broken heart or a broken arm. It's the kindness of God to restore someone to peace and to calmness in their inner being. At the end of our talk today, we're going to invite God's Holy Spirit to come and minister, both in the room and online. I'm aware that God's kingdom is at hand. God wants to draw close in real and powerful ways. If we don't pray, I'm not going to see an answer. But if we do pray, we can see God come in kindness and power. Before we do have a chance to pray and bless one another and see what he wants to do in this moment, right here, right now, I want us to play a story. It's Charlie's story. And the first time I heard this story was a couple of weeks ago. It's a story from our church context a little while back, but it's a story that encourages us. And it actually has two of those elements of making a difference. It has kingdom invitation. You can spot that as you listen to the story. And it has kingdom ministry. And it made a difference. Let's watch Charlie's story.
You kindly shared with us at small group the other evening about what happened to you the first time you visited Vineyard Church. I think it was with friends from uni. Would you mind retelling a little bit of that story for us today?
Yeah, sure, no problem. So the first time I went to a Vineyard Church was when I was a student at Birmingham University. And I actually went in the first few weeks, but I wasn't a Christian when I went. When I started university, I hardly knew any Christians. I hadn't met anybody really growing up that was a Christian. that God had placed a lot of people around me at university that were Christians, people who became very close friends and good friends very quickly. And they sort of all knew each other as well through a Christian union. And we used to sort of stay up late night chatting about faith. And I would sort of be the one who wasn't of faith and was asking all the awkward questions and all the difficult things. And as part of their sort of, I guess, process of introducing me to God, they invited me to go to church. So I duly said yes and thought it would be an interesting experience. And I turned up to this Birmingham Vineyard Church. And I guess what I expected was it to be very formal, for us to sing hymns, to hear somebody preach, to stand and say prayers with our eyes shut and nobody looking at each other. And obviously I got quite a shock because that was what I'd experienced church as before this. So I remember the first thing that happened is when we walked in, I saw the band setting up and I saw a guy drumming. And I remember turning to my friend and saying, "Why is there a drummer here?" And she was like, "Well, it's part of the band." And I was like, "You have a band at church?" And I kind of couldn't get my head around the, a worship band and playing music. So I think I was sort of just a bit stunned really throughout the whole of the service. But after the worship had happened, the pastor of the church got up and he started talking about healing. And I guess I didn't really understand a lot of what he was saying. He was talking about how God can heal us and how we have to pray in faith and the Holy Spirit can, he can do anything in our lives. And interestingly, about a week before I went along to this church, I had sprained my ankle in a sporting accident. And I was actually on crutches at the time when we were at church. And inevitably, at the end of his sermon, he stood up and said, "And we'd like to pray for anyone that's ill or injured." And I remember looking at the floor and thinking, "Oh, there's no way I'm standing up. This is all crazy, off the wall. I'm not going anywhere near that stage." And then the next thing I knew, I was standing up on this stage. And I really can't really tell you today how I got up there, other than to assume that I must have made the decision to put my hand up, very firmly nudged probably by some friends and by God to do so. And I ended up on this stage and the pastor said to me, "Oh, what's wrong?" And I said, "Well, as you can see, I've sprained my ankle and I'm on crutches, but I think I should tell you, I'm not a Christian. I don't know what I believe in. I'm just here for the first time." And he was not at all taken aback, actually, which I was very impressed at. He sort of said, "Don't worry, it's all up to God. We can pray for you and lay hands on you and pray in faith that you'll be healed." And so I shut my eyes and just stood there and thought, "I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll just go with it." And then it was miraculous, really. At the end of the prayer, he said, "How does it feel?" And I put a bit of weight on it and I thought, "Oh, this is the first time I've stood on my foot since I sprained it and I can actually stand on it." And after that, I walked down off the stage, down the steps off the stage, and God had done something amazing, which at the time I don't think I even knew how to process or how to understand, because I didn't even know that I believed in this God that had just healed my ankle. So it was an incredible experience looking back on it.
This one experience that you had where your ankle was healed has affected the rest of your life. Do you mind sharing a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So this sort of experience, I would say, is one of the most defining moments in, I think, me coming to be a Christian. And it didn't happen straight away after that meeting, that healing. I think, as I said, I was a bit in shock, really, about what had happened. And I was still searching and finding out things. But when I look back, and I think I made a decision maybe a couple of months after that to become a Christian and to get baptized, I think it was probably the most tangible bit of evidence that I had to cling on to that God was real. And I didn't find it hard to believe in the words of the Bible. I didn't find it hard to believe that Jesus was this historical figure who had walked the earth thousands of years before. And, I didn't find any of that really challenging to believe, but the whole idea of God being with us here and now and being present in our lives now and to be able to see and experience things of God in this lifetime, that was the thing that I found hard to believe. And I think that experience for me made God tangible. It made him completely real. Sometimes it's a really good story to tell also for me, just to be reminded about how God can do dramatic things in the lives of people, even when you don't expect them, even when they don't believe in him. And it's an encouragement, I guess, to be bold and pray for people because of that.
As we come to finish today, I want to think about what's the next step. That story is inspiring and it's practical to show us ways that we can be involved in kingdom ministry. What is the next step for you as we think about signs and wonders and miracles? You might think, crikey, that's a bit above me. Well, it's not. Jesus says it's for all of us as his followers. Why don't you ask Jesus what my next step is? Maybe it's making a decision to just show kindness practically. Sometimes kindness opens up a conversation that can go someplace. Maybe it's joining Ruth and others offering to pray for people in the city centre. Maybe it's doing what Ruth did and texting the people in your phone book and on your phone and saying, can I pray for you? Is there something I can pray for you right now? I'm just learning how to pray. What can I pray for? Maybe it's actually saying, I'm just new to this whole thing. I need to get some basics. Can I get some training? Well, you can just reach out to somebody in your small group or one of your leaders, and they'd be happy to involve you in praying for others. It's good as we hear this story, not to let it go in and move on, but just to say, Lord, what's my next step? What would it look like for me to make a difference, but make a difference in the way that you describe, which is kingdom ministry and kingdom invitation. Being willing to take a risk that the kingdom of God might come and touch somebody that you love dearly, just as you love me dearly. We're going to have a time of ministry right now, and I want to welcome the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to recognize that God is at hand. And maybe you're with us today and you're not yet following Jesus. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you just need something to shift. You need God to do something that you can't do yourself. Do you know, but if there's something that you're facing that you just can't fix by effort and hard work, you can't just fix it by yourself, then we need to pray. We need to ask God to do what he can do in our lives. I'm going to ask God in a minute to come close. And maybe there's something that you're dealing with that's like anxiety or just torment in your heart or mind. Maybe there's some pain or discomfort in a part of your body that's causing you some problems. Maybe the pain is not obvious and physical. It's on the inside. It's a heart pain. It's something that's gone on for you in a broken heart or a relationship. Maybe you're just feeling really fragile right now. You feel like that jar of clay that just could crack at any moment. In a minute, when I start to pray, you're going to have a chance to click the live prayer button if you're online. If you're in the room, we can gather around. Well, not physically, but we can just identify who's who and then actually pray for you. Let's take a moment and let's pray. I'm going to invite God's Spirit to come. Just encourage you as we come to this moment, just be still. Just pause for a minute. God is closer than you think. The kingdom of God is at hand. Just in this stillness, just go with me as I just speak these things. You know, I choose right now, just encourage you to echo this in your heart. I choose right now to believe that you see me, that you care for me, and that my life matters to you. And I want you, God, to be at work in my life right now. Have your way in my life, Jesus. Have your way in my life, Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus, I thank you for healing power in Jesus' name. And I bless you today to receive God's presence in your life, in your heart, this very moment. Come, living God. Breathe your life and your peace and your presence into those that need a breakthrough right now. I pray for healing for those that need healing in their bodies. I pray for peace into troubled minds and to anxious hearts. Come with your peace, living God. I bless your spirit to be at rest before God and to be still, to know that you're loved as a son or a daughter. I bless spirits to come alive to God right now in this moment as people are saying yes. Lord, help us say yes to you. Help us welcome the work of your spirit. Let your spirit blow and touch each person. Let your presence be like heaven's fresh air in our lungs, God. Just as we're pausing and there's this moment to welcome God's work in our lives. I just encourage you, if you're online, just hit that live prayer button, because that will take you to a space where someone can pray and actually you can get more specific and say, this is what I'm being still before God for. This is what I need to see shift. Take a moment just to click that live prayer button, then you'll be in a private chat. No one else will see, and it's a chance for you to have someone actually stand with you and pray and bless God's good purpose in your life. For some of you, the decision for today is to actually just fling wide the doors of your heart to God himself. Actually, God is wanting to let today be a fresh start. When you welcome Jesus into your life, Jesus' Father becomes your Father, and he watches over your life, and he puts his love on the inside, that you can know peace and the presence of God in the midst of all this craziness, that there's an anchor in the storm, which is the love and the hope that we get from following Jesus. If that's you and you haven't actually made that decision to follow him yet, then you can do that right now. Simply just a simple prayer. God sees the stuff of our hearts. He knows our thoughts. And if we just say, Jesus, I need to trust you because I want to follow you. You've got a plan for my life and I want to say yes to you and yes to all that you have for me. Just hit that kind of button, which is basically, yeah, hands up button. I want to follow Jesus. Count me in, God. I want to be on your team. I want to follow you. Let your love change my life. Do that right now as we're just online or in the room. We bless your work, God. Keep working in our hearts and homes, and help us as your kids be ones that extend your kingdom. Do kingdom ministry and kingdom invitation. Let us see signs and wonders and miracles, things that we can't make happen on our own, but it's actually your love and power touching lives in us as we say yes to you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
Why not come along and visit us? We gather at 3 services across 2 sites on a Sunday and meet during the week in small groups across the city. More information on both of these can be found on our website.
Thanks for listening, and God bless.